listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's eating pants time again because, I mean, I suppose if you're going to eat up all the snacks, it's Super Bowl weekend, guys. And whether or not you care about sports, this is also food weekend. So, Erin, what are we doing?
Today we have an iron ladle challenge of a Super Bowl snack.
Yes.
And all of us discovered this last night.
That's true. Proves the point. You can do Super Bowl snacks very quickly.
You can. You could certainly be much more elaborate if you wanted, but it's totally feasible to accomplish a delicious snack for a party with very little notice.
Yes.
Because we all forgot this episode was coming up until 24 hours ago.
Exactly.
And we all found delicious recipes. So.
Yeah. So first, I'm curious. My church growing up, Super Bowl was one of the classic youth fundraiser opportunities wherein we would, at my church, we would make submarine sandwiches, and we would sell Super Bowl subs as a fundraiser. Did either of you have a youth group fundraiser associated with Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes. And it was Super Bowl
also,
subs.
It's the classic.
I have never heard of this in my life.
What? Really?
Yeah. In my church, Super Bowl was mostly an on your own kind of thing.
That's fascinating.
Maybe you'd get together with some friends for the big game, and those friends might be church friends.
Sure.
But it was not an official church sponsored event. Not because the church didn't approve of the Super Bowl, just I don't think it ever occurred to them that it should be a church holiday.
Right. I mean, it wasn't that we would then all watch the Super Bowl together. We would just, the youth group on the Saturday before would get together, crank out all of the submarine sandwiches that had been ordered, and then on Sunday at church, the people would pick up their party subs and take them to the party that they were going to be.
Very clever. You know, we actually did something like that at one of the churches we were at, but it was during hunting season.
Oh, that works.
I love it. I can still I can taste what those Super Bowl subs tasted like.
I know.
It is a core memory in my brain.
Yeah,
because I'm
buried.
Sure when my brothers were doing them for youth group, because I'm a youngest child, I'm sure I helped.
Oh, yeah.
So I probably have a solid 10 years of Super Bowl sub making under my belt.
Wow.
Ugh. And they were so good. I can taste.
I know. I feel like it maybe has gone by the wayside.
Maybe.
But maybe next year I need to suggest that. I don't feel like we've left enough time at my youth group to really promote that this year.
Yes.
But maybe next year I suggest we should test the waters. I don't know. But you got to know your church. And will your church get excited about a submarine sandwich?
I don't know.
I mean, they're pretty good.
They are so good.
They're pretty good.
But hear me out. Hear me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You offer the submarine sandwich, but you also have a bake sale going on with it. But instead of baked goods, it's Super Bowl snacks.
Snacks.
A plate of snacks to go with your submarine sandwich. And you can pre-order from some
absolutely
beautiful, easy, can be done in less than 24 hour ideas.
You could buy a tub of a dip. You could. Oh, yeah. This is Rachel. That would be an excellent addition to the fundraiser.
Yeah.
Huh?
There you go.
Yeah.
Fundraising ideas brought to you by the Ladies Lounge.
So, I mean, I also, when it comes to Super Bowl, I will watch the game, but really it's for the social time together. Mm-hmm. I will watch some of the game. I like the commercials, but even more, I'm in it for the socializing and the snacks.
Yeah.
It's a good reason. It's winter. You don't want to be outside at this time of year generally, especially not in the evening. So it's a good way to spend some time together. Are either of you football fans?
Yes.
Yes, I know you are.
The Lions. Hopefully this ages well because we're recording several weeks ahead of time. So go Lions.
Is there any chance they could actually make it for the first time in their 100-year history, Sarah?
Yes. There's totally a chance. And I really hope I don't regret saying this on a podcast because maybe I'll have to edit it out. But
you know what? We can always look back and remember the hope. I, too, am a Lions fan.
Oh, yes.
However, I'm less of a football fan than I used to be, mostly because we have not kept up with cable or network television, nor do we pay for pricey sports channels. And it's getting harder and harder to watch football any other way.
Yeah.
So I've just sort of let a lot of the enjoyment of football go. But my husband,
that's fair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my husband.
And if the Lions make the Super Bowl, these stingy old Lutherans will probably actually shell out some money to watch the Super Bowl, like, a la carte.
Nice. And by the time this episode drops, we will know. I'm so excited. I'm so excited, guys. I love it.
I hope that they go. I hope they go all the way. If they go to the Super Bowl, I will absolutely cheer for them. They'll be my team this year.
They're America's team, apparently, according to all of the Facebook memes I've seen.
Yes. They haven't been America's team for the last 100 years, but now that they're winning, oh, by golly, they're America's team. Go figure.
Yes. I totally bought a shirt for
America
myself.
America loves a winner.
For Christmas that says I was a Lions fan before it was cool, because it's really true. Yes.
Baby Sarah. No, I will tell you, at our house, we do generally somehow try to watch the Super Bowl. My husband loves the football. I used to love the ads because, you know, I was in marketing for a long time and I got a lot of respect for those. Although I got to say, the ads in recent years have not only been less creative, they've also been less family appropriate.
Agreed.
Yeah,
so agreed, we will often like turn away during the ads. And I haven't watched the halftime show in probably 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I don't trust it to be enjoyable and wholesome, which are two things I demand from my entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we do watch it. The kids are all there for the sex, though.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of my kids is probably even close to a football fan.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest daughter confessed to me today that she doesn't like football. She doesn't want to watch the Super Bowl because, quote, you know, it's like sumo. I don't like to watch sumo either because I don't like watching men beat each other up.
Hmm.
Somehow in her mind, American professional football and Japanese sumo wrestling are in the same category, and neither one of them is enjoyable for her for the same reason.
Okay. Checks out.
Okay. Yeah. That was fun for me. But we have Super Bowl Sunday has traditionally been one of 2 days, along with New Year's Eve, when we have hors d'oeuvres for supper. And we just load up with a buffet of everybody's favorite hors d'oeuvres. You know, throw it on the grocery list. It's coming home. We will have chips and dip. We will have pot stickers. We will have pizza rolls. We will have, in fact, this same child who doesn't like the sumo also is mad at me for not having submitted Totino's pizza rolls as my iron ladle challenge recipe for this episode, because she wanted them.
It's hilarious.
But yeah, we'll have just this giant smorgasbord. My husband traditionally has made, more on that later, his Super Bowl dip, which is basically a block of Velveeta cheese with sausage and rotel, like the tomatoes and chilies.
Classic.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a day when we go all out on the snacks. So I'm really glad that you challenged us to bring to up our snack game for this year's Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I personally thought about turning to the snacks I brought to my most recent party that I went to. But then I thought to myself, does that snack really say Super Bowl? And I decided probably not, but they were delicious. I found myself with more tinned fish than usual. Ah. And I thought this is the time to use it. So I made anchovy butter.
Oh,
which let me tell you was actually delicious and is the easiest thing ever. But again, doesn't really scream party.
Yeah.
And not Super Bowl party, but it was very tasty.
Hmm.
I also made a sardine rillette.
Wow.
Which is basically, it's sort of like tuna salad, only with sardines.
Interesting. That sounds good.
Good, but it just doesn't have that down-home Super Bowl party feel to it. So I decided that no, I was not going to do that. However, for those of you who are interested in maybe bringing the unexpected item to a Super Bowl party, I will include some links to some recipes that you could consider.
Do they all feature canned fish?
I will include both the anchovy butter and the sardine rillette link. Yes.
This is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. What did you guys settle on for what you were going to do with a sardine? That could be another. That can be a future episode. Sardines.
It could.
What do you want to do for a Super Bowl snack?
Yes. Well, food episodes are always a bit complicated in my life because I have a complicated relationship with food thanks to chronic illness. However, these Iron Ladle episodes are my favorites in the whole wide world because I always find new recipes that I can make that I never ever thought in my brain would be something I could eat. So yesterday, when we all discovered that we had an episode to do, I was like, I mean, I could just do my usual, like, some sort of combination of almond and cranberry, since that's usually my snack, which is good. I mean, I have my go-to cookies now, thanks to another Iron Ladle Challenge recipe from, like, several years ago. I finally gave up, and I was like, I should just Google, like, something. So paleo is the closest to what my diet generally is. I eat a lot of meats and vegetables. I randomly just Googled paleo Super Bowl snacks. Ooh. Lo and behold, there are a lot of them, first of all. A lot of them that I can't eat because I can't eat tomatoes, and tomatoes are a staple in a lot of Super Bowl snacks. However, sweet potato chicken poppers.
Ooh.
The list.
Tell us more.
Right? I was like, oh, sweet potato and chicken. I can do that. I don't have any idea what a popper is. Sorry to all of you who know what poppers
are. Seems like it's going to be a bite-sized item.
It is.
You can pop it in your mouth.
Absolutely. They're basically chicken nuggets, but homemade.
Okay.
So it's sweet potato, ground chicken.
Okay.
Coconut oil, coconut flour, spices, green onions. And there are a lot of ways to change this recipe around. You can use ground turkey. You can apparently use carrot instead of sweet potato. I wouldn't do that because I can do sweet potato.
Yeah.
You can do olive oil instead of coconut oil, almond flour instead of coconut flour.
Sure.
I would probably do those subs just because I like those better. But you basically just mix everything in a bowl and scoop it with a cookie scoop onto a baking sheet.
Okay.
And bake them for 25 to 28 minutes.
Okay.
Flipping them halfway through. And then when they're cooked, you take them out and you can eat them. You can freeze them, you can fridge them, reheat them. So
they recommend a sauce. It seems like they should have a dipping sauce.
You can use a dipping sauce. The picture in this recipe that I will link to you from unboundwellness.com, they do have a sauce that goes with it. I don't know what the sauce is. Typically, I can't even eat sauces, so I didn't even bother looking.
You could do it with a cranberry sauce, Sarah. You could make yourself
her face right now. It's so happy. Yum.
Yeah. So they're basically like sweet potato chicken nuggets, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, I would also swap regular sweet potatoes out and use my absolute favorite Japanese white sweet potatoes because I love them. I don't know how it would work because the moisture content and texture is very different from a regular sweet potato, but those are a staple in my life and they're so good and so sweet and starchy and delicious.
Yeah. But see, regular sweet potatoes and carrots have a very different moisture and like, texture palette.
And they do say to pat the carrots dry before you use them because they are much wetter than regular sweet potatoes.
So do you cook the sweet potato first and then use it like in a mashed
format?
Yeah,
I'm curious
too. Is it a shred?
It is shredded.
Okay.
What is this?
Shredded, uncooked sweet potato?
That is what it looks like. Which, if it's shredded and in a recipe, it would definitely cook in 25 to 28 minutes for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Just grate it and use it.
Okay.
And you can use ground chicken from a store, or if you happen to have a meat grinder, you can make your own shredded ground chicken, not shredded chicken. Ground
Sarah,
chicken.
You could also sub for another variation. You could sub delicata squash.
Oh, that would be so good. Delicata is my favorite.
I know. I haven't been able to find any this year, and I'm so
sad. That's sad. That is very sad.
Yeah.
So I
probably also use butternut squash, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably could. Yeah. So I'm very excited about this. Okay. I'm mad at myself that I didn't look this up a week ago before I went grocery shopping because I totally would have made them.
Since we're recording this in advance, you can make these for the actual Super Bowl.
Yes. And I
especially if the Lions are going.
Especially. I told that to Luther last night. I was so excited when I was reading this recipe to him. And I was like, do you understand what this means? He was like, I do. And I was like, we need to make these. And he's like, yes, we do. So even Luther's excited that I found a recipe that I can just make, which is rare in my life. So this one I'm very excited about. They look amazing. It's a super easy recipe. When Rachel was like, I found two, I was like, oh, I should find another one also because apparently I live a very, very competitive life. So I just went back to the list and this one's even easier. It's just maple glazed almonds because I had to have almonds in here somewhere.
Nice. Seems like nice crunchy snack at a Super Bowl party.
Coat
definitely
the almonds with maple syrup and I would put a little bit of salt in there too. And you just roast them until they're roasted and then you eat them. So that's not even a recipe. It's just like throwing random things together into the oven. But
it sounds amazing. I want to do that.
I love sweet almonds. So I don't know why I've never just thought about doing this anyway. Right. But there you go. Maple glazed almonds and sweet potato chicken poppers. Those are my recipes. And I'm so happy right now.
That is a great contribution to a Super Bowl party. Let me tell you, both of those are.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay, Rachel, what do you have?
Okay, so I'm in a bit of a tricky situation too, but I think it's probably one that a lot of our listeners can relate to. If you are one of the small minority of the American population who are still sticking to your New Year's diet resolutions. I know. There's really very few of us that the Super Bowl presents a challenge. That if you were not cheating on your diet already, you will be by the end of the Super Bowl because there are so many tasty snacks out. And so I really set out to find something that would work with some popular, you know, weight loss diet situations. And in this case, I went for keto. A lot of people find, you know, low carb to be a good approach for them. Also, the nice thing about keto is that cream cheese and mayonnaise are okay.
Which they aren't on paleo, so there you go.
The maple syrup is not on keto, so so I went looking, and just like Sarah, as soon as I started to type in keto soup, before I even got to the end, Google was like, keto Super Bowl snacks? I was like, yes, thank you very much. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
Many, many lists to choose from. But I got so excited by these recipes that I did end up not only choosing, but actually this afternoon making two of them just to test drive them and like see what we're working with here. So the two recipes that I have for your health conscious Super Bowl party, I realize that's an oxymoron, but whatever.
I mean, mine are too, essentially. So
yours would be amazing. I have a shrimp salad on cucumber slice. So instead of a cracker, you got a cucumber slice. I used English cucumbers. The shrimp salad is a really ridiculously easy recipe.
Yeah.
It just involves, I got a pound of shrimp and I didn't go to the big grocery store yesterday. I just went to my neighborhood food line. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a whole lot of choice, but I grabbed the medium fully cooked tail on shrimp and then I proceeded to thaw and detail them.
Sure.
Cut them in sort of diced finely along with some chopped celery. The recipe called for chopped red onion as well, but if you know me, you know I don't do raw onions. Just don't like them. Tell my kids you're allowed to have one food you don't like, and for me, that's it. You toss the pound of shrimp with two stalks of diced celery in a bowl. Add, let's say, about a quarter cup of mayo. Not every mayo is quote-unquote keto compliant. I found one that I love that is. This is the, and it's actually, apparently it's a Southern specialty, Duke's mayonnaise. The official mayonnaise of tailgating. So you know it's Super Bowl friendly. So
isn't that Bree's favorite or is that your favorite?
No. That's like your Duke's favorite. Bree likes Hellman's.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, both good.
I knew there was a rivalry here.
Good. And also, I like two, Duke's and Kewpie, which is harder to
find. No, I had Kewpie.
the Japanese one.
But Duke's mayonnaise is amazing, and it is 100% sugar-free, carb-free. So
okay.
So and to be honest here, I don't measure anything. So how much mayo did I put in? I put in a glop of mayonnaise.
Put in enough.
And then I put in another half glop because it didn't look like it was enough. So a glop and a half of mayonnaise.
Uh-huh.
And then the one thing I would do differently. So the recipe called for Old Bay, which I love. If you live, have ever lived on the East Coast, I literally live in Chesapeake, Virginia, where the Chesapeake Bay from Old Bay is. This is like a pantry staple. You will have Old Bay.
Okay.
Seasoning blend. Very delicious for anything seafoody. Whether you're talking seafood like boil or a chowder, a little Old Bay just makes it pop. So I used Old Bay. I was like, I'm not going to use that much. I'll start with half a teaspoon and see how it goes. Half a teaspoon. I probably should have cut that to a quarter teaspoon.
Whoops.
Because it was very strong. But now that I'm tasting it again several hours later, it's about right. So maybe it's just like really potent.
Maybe it just needed to like settle, like just a lot of the flavors to sort of mingle and balance.
Needed to simmer down. Because when I first tasted it, I was like, whoa, Nelly. Okay. So you got your mayonnaise, your Old Bay. I added a nice little splash of onion powder to sort of say sorry to the recipe that I wasn't putting red onions in it and give it a little bit of onion there and then just added some black pepper.
Okay.
Mixed it all around until it was mixed and then put by teaspoonfuls onto my sliced English cucumbers, which have a really nice crunch. And then I will say the cucumbers do a lot to balance out the Old Bay because they're so mild in flavor.
Yeah.
That they really it's a nice hors d'oeuvre, you guys. Each one is about one bite, no problem. Pop it in, and they're just delicious. So that was hors d'oeuvre number one. I'm sorry, they're not hors d'oeuvres. It's Super Bowl Sunday. They are snacks.
Snacks.
Snacks. The other one that just made me really happy even to think about, and I'm very happy it came together, is a riceless sushi wrap. One of the things I miss the most is sushi. I really love sushi. I love rice just in general, but rice does not love me nearly as much as it did 30 years ago.
Yeah, I feel that.
So I have to be careful with rice. And of course, if you're on a low carb diet, rice of any kind is pretty much out.
Sure.
But it turns out that all the other things that I like to put in sushi work. Which is great. So backstory, Ken and I have done sushi nights in our house for years. His mother was a Japanese foreign exchange student and, you know, showed me the ropes before we were even married. And so this has been a beloved part of our family. We don't do anything fancy, just, you know, nori with sushi rice and toppings rolled up and sliced thin. Right. It's a wonderful thing. But we haven't had one in ages. And I was really missing it. So when I had that, I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier, but when I realized that, yeah, I could do the same thing, just leave out the rice. It was like Sarah with your maple glazed almonds. Like, whoa, come on. So obvious now. So I set out to make sushi rolls without the rice. So to get these, let's see, what did I put in them? I put in imitation crab meat. Full disclosure, I don't trust myself to work with raw fish. So when I'm making sushi at home, I usually use something pre-cooked. And I really love the imitation crab meat for this. I get the leg variety, not the lump variety. And I usually cut them in half before I start. Also,
I don't even know what any of that means. But go on.
Oh, trust me, if you could taste it, you would know what it meant.
A leg variety?
Okay, so imitation crab meat, which it comes in several different shapes.
Formats.
It's all Alaskan pollock that is flavored to sort of convince you that it's crab meat.
I wondered how it was.
Usually colored as well.
It's very convincing. I don't want to look at the nutrition information. I don't know if it actually fits my current diet. I don't care. It's close.
Protein.
Yeah, it's protein. So anyway, the leg format of this, mm-hmm. it basically comes in these long strips mm-hmm. as opposed to gotcha. These little like nuggets.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
And so obviously, for this purpose, the long strip is much better. I also cut
okay. I'm tracking.
English cucumber in long strips, cut up an avocado, mm-hmm. got yeah. a tub of cream cheese.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
So you lay out your nori wrapper, and then I always start, cream cheese is your friend with this, because okay. in traditional sushi rolls, the rice really holds it together.
Sure. Yeah.
This is sure. probably why I didn't think it was possible before I saw that someone else had done it. Mm-hmm. But if you put down a thin layer of cream cheese, it helps everything sort of stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cream cheese, use your long skinny things. Again, this is not going to hold together the way as well as a traditional sushi roll. So mm-hmm. if you have long things that go at least half or maybe the whole length of your nori, it's just going to hold together better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I layered with each one cream cheese, crab meat, avocado, cucumber, and then I started getting fancy and adding the shrimp salad from the previous snack.
Yeah, why not?
Because why not?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so just roll it up. I found that in two ways this varied. It would not stick together as well. Again, the mm-hmm. rice is the glue here. Yeah. But what I would do is right before I got to the end of my rolling up phase, I would add a couple dabs of cream cheese mm-hmm. on the edge of the nori to just mm-hmm. sort of tape it down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I let them rest seam side down for a few minutes while I make the rest of the rolls. And then right before serving, slice them up. Another big difference is normally I can get 6 or even 8 pieces out of each roll. In mm-hmm. this case, I tried that and it was all falling to pieces. Mm-hmm. So I real quick switched to 4 pieces per mm-hmm. roll, which gives you about a 2-inch slice and was really good.
Yeah.
And you guys, these hit the spot. Let me tell you, mm-hmm. they are so good.
Awesome.
If you enjoy sushi, but you're in the same boat with me with the whole rice thing, mm-hmm. this is such a good solution. Mm-hmm.
So, yay! So yeah,
there you got it. 2 low carb, veggie heavy, high protein.
Yeah.
Super Bowl snacks.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's the fun way to eat vegetables.
I feel like you could also use like egg as a filling.
Ooh.
Because yeah. like, that's a typical sushi filling as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do like scrambled egg really thin, like almost like a crepe thin, yeah. and then just lay that out flat on top when you're
yeah, that would be great. I would have thought probably of that, except my kids ate all my eggs and I only have one egg left in the house.
Yeah. No,
that turns out they like some of my keto recipes, especially those that involve eggs. So we've been burning through eggs really fast.
Yeah. That's not nice. A bad problem to have.
Uh-huh. No. So, yep. Cheers.
Yeah. The only other thing I wonder, you said it wasn't sticking. Did you try it all just using water to make it?
I didn't. I should have. Okay. I could have. But my hands were all messy with cream cheese. Yeah. So it was easy enough just to, yeah. you know, put a little cream cheese on the edge.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. Water might work. I cannot say whether it would or wouldn't because I didn't
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm. Those sound so delicious. Now, does soy sauce work with this or
I don't know if it does or it doesn't, but I'm eating it with soy sauce. But, you know, okay. they're delicious yeah. enough you can enjoy it without. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm figuring that soy sauce, I looked it up during this episode because I was like, I don't know if soy sauce works. Both soy sauce and wasabi. Ironically, uh-huh. the commercially available wasabi mm-hmm. paste that you get at the supermarket, yeah. both of them have a little bit of sugar, a mm-hmm. little bit of carb, but like, mm-hmm. you know, 0.8 grams. It's not yeah. going to blow your diet
yeah.
if you have it with soy sauce. But if you are a total purist, leave out the soy sauce uh-huh. and either leave out the wasabi or find a source that is pure wasabi mm-hmm. and not doctored with like starches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Most of the store. Yeah. The supermarket available products are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Awesome. Those are both excellent additions. And honestly, ladies, as I'm hearing the snacks that we have, I feel like the three of us could provide a delightful variety spread Super Bowl party here because I have something that fits in the area that we have not covered yet. And that is a dip.
Oh, yes.
I feel like this is this is without any planning whatsoever. Very fortuitous.
The perfect spread.
These episodes yes. tend to end up this way.
Yeah. So I chose to go with a dip that I invented many Super Bowls ago. I was going to a Super Bowl party and I had a friend who was a very picky eater. And I was like, I will make a dip that even Steve will like. I didn't. It was a failure for Steve to like it, but it turned out it was still as unsurprisingly too much. But it was a delicious dip. And so I think even though it is maybe not the best dip for a very picky eater, it is still a great dip for a Super Bowl party. And that is what I call cheeseburger dip all the way.
Oh,
okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So
I'm so intrigued.
It's basically everything that would be good on a cheeseburger is in the dip. It's a cousin, Rachel, to Ken's beloved Rotel dip with ground. Mm-hmm. So in this case, here is how you make cheeseburger dip all the way. 6 slices of bacon. Oof. You cook them until they're crispy, drain them on paper towels, and then chop the bacon up and set that aside. You then are going to remove most of the bacon grease and reserve it for another use. I personally am a fan of reusing bacon grease, but
oh, absolutely.
And just pour it into a can and throw it away. That's whatever. But I love
it's
bacon.
The best
grease.
Thing to fry eggs in.
I know.
There is nothing better.
It's so true and keto friendly.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to remove most of the bacon grease. You don't need it. And then return the pan to heat, and you're going to saute a small to medium onion that you've chopped up fairly small. And once the onion is starting to turn golden brown, add in 2 cloves of garlic that are minced and saute for a little longer till the garlic really smells like it's good. But garlic, it turns out, burns pretty easily.
Yes.
I always used to put it in first. Mm-hmm. And then finally, my brain noticed, like after, I don't know, 2 decades of cooking, but it noticed the fact that the garlic always got overdone.
Yep.
And if I would just reverse the order and put the garlic in much closer to the end of the cooking time, it would really work better.
You and I have had very similar garlic journeys, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. So do that. And then you can just transfer the onion mixture to a bowl, because unless you have a really big pan, then you could probably do it all in one pan. But I usually end up having to, you know, do things in sessions. So then return your pan to the heat. So you're adding the onion mixture to a bowl along with the bacon. Return your pan to the heat and you're going to brown 1/2 pound of ground beef. Mm. And I don't think I don't feel like you really need to add much in the way of cooking fat for ground beef unless you have really, really lean beef. Or
in which case, like, bacon grease is ideal.
Exactly. If you want to sub ground turkey instead of ground beef, or if you have really lean ground beef, then yes, go back to some of that reserved bacon grease to help you out. But if you just have regular ground beef, then it's going to have enough fat in it. And you can just brown that up with some salt and pepper. You do want the beef, chop it up really well when you're doing it, break it up well. But you do want it to be actually browned, not just cooked. Because that we want that tasty, what? How do you say it? Is it Maillard?
I have no idea.
It's just browning chemistry of food.
Oh, it's crusty is what you want.
Yes. You want the brown crust.
Yes.
There's a literal chemical reaction that takes place, and it's the Maillard reaction, maybe.
Cool.
Anyway,
yes,
it's Maillard. What makes it delicious. You want that. So
I'd learned a word today.
Yeah, you want that. It's makes everything tasty. So allow your beef to actually brown and then go ahead and add it to your bowl with the onions. If your beef is really fatty, if you have cheap beef, then you might want to drain off some of that fat.
And honestly, who doesn't have cheap beef these days?
I know. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So then you now have a bowl full of ground up meat and bacon and onion. So to that, you are going to add 16 ounces of sharp cheddar cheese shredded and 8 ounces of cream cheese or Neufchâtel. So that would be fine too. I honestly feel like those are a lot of times I'm not real keen on a low fat substitute. I would rather just use less of something. But Neufchâtel, I think, is totally equal swap for cream cheese. Anyway, softened, bring it to room temperature and add that. You're going to combine all of that. And so you then need to melt the cheese. So you can do this in like a microwave. If you have a microwave, you could do it, put it on the stove, stovetop in like a pot. You could do it in a crock pot, whatever works for you and your party situation. But you need to melt this. So do that. You're going to heat the mixture, stirring it frequently until it is nice and gooey.
I presume we should put the usual warning of if you're melting cheese, do it on a low heat.
Yeah. That's a good recommendation. Mm. That's a good recommendation.
I mean, I would just do it in a crock pot.
Stirring regularly will also help. As the cheese melts, then you're going to mix in the equivalent of 2 medium dill pickles chopped up. Okay.
Ooh. Yes.
This is cheeseburger all the way. So you need the bright dill pickle addition to the dip, I think, is essential.
Yes.
So you're going to chop up that. If you have like spears, get the equivalent of 2 dill pickles, whatever that looks like. Chop those up and add them. You will also add, Rachel, I agree with your quantity technical terminology. I call for a good blop of mustard. And a healthy squirt of ketchup.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll add all of that in and mix it all together. And then you're going to taste it. What does it need more of? Add that. Okay.
You're aiming for cheeseburger.
You're aiming for a cheeseburger.
I love subjective cooking.
What do you want it to taste like? Add that thing to it. And then you serve it with tortilla chips.
Mm.
Okay. It's delicious, and it's a fun variation on the class. I mean, I deeply love Velveeta Rotel, even with beef added to it. That is a beloved favorite of a party. This is just it's a relative of it. Mm-hmm. It's a little variation on
spicier cousin,
that sort of dip.
Well,
so,
and I'll just, because I'm currently an expert in this. Mm-hmm. If you swap out tomato paste for your ketchup,
yeah,
you got a keto-friendly thing there. You just got to eat it with a spoon instead of a tortilla chip, which I'm not opposed to.
Yeah, you could eat it with pork rinds.
Ooh.
If you want vegetable chips,
crunchy, you know,
right? So maybe cucumber slices would be better.
Yeah, or a spoon.
That's where the whole thing breaks down. Spoons are great.
Yeah. So Super Bowl party snacks, one of the great fun ways, don't take them too seriously. Try something out and tell us about it. We want to know what you bring to your Super Bowl parties and what recommendations do you have? And have you ever had a total flop?
Oh.
as in my dip that I made, especially trying to make it delicious for somebody. I mean, I still found it delicious, but I failed in my attempt to make a dip that Steve would like.
I think my biggest flop was letting Ken make the usual size of his cheese dip for just our family. It would not leave. It was like 2 weeks later. I finally used the rest of it and put it on like macaroni for mac and cheese.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was really good. The kids still wouldn't eat it.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, make sure that you get the right amount of dip.
Mm-hmm.
Leftover dip is not nearly as fun.
Yeah. Rachel, actually, cucumbers, I don't think would work for that. But suddenly I had a vision and I feel like you could use for like scooping up a cheesy dip like this. I feel like cauliflower or bell pepper, either one.
Bell pepper
would have great potential to still be quite tasty.
Yes, so, I love this.
And if you want a real chip experience, there are cauliflower chips. Like keto-friendly chips exist if you really need some chips. They may or may not be good. Mm-hmm. But like actual cauliflower.
Right. Interesting.
I'm a sort of like, I don't like to get things out of packages if I can help it.
Hey, that's fine.
So I love this cauliflower and green pepper idea.
Yeah.
That's great. It's like green peppers were made to dip.
I know.
Yeah.
You got the scoop on them and everything.
Definitely.
Carrots would work too.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be bad. Somehow they don't seem quite as good.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
They would not be bad.
The flavor profile might be a little odd.
Yeah. Something.
The peppers, I think, might be the best, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Ah. This is exciting.
I love it. Such a unique. A unique spread of Super Bowl snacks. Who would have thunk at the beginning of this episode? Well, ladies, if you make any of these, or if you make your own, or you have something super fun or super terrible that has happened to you, please share your stories with us on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. And or in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge on Facebook, or just your Super Bowl stories, because we all love a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Join us in both of those places. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah. Go Lions.
I'm Erin.
And I'm also
Go Lions.
Yes!
I really hope this ages well.
I really hope we don't regret this. Come on, Lions, please. Just once. Just once.
Please.
Dear listeners, as you well know by now, my excitement for a Lions Super Bowl did not, in fact, age well. And so, we're raising our snack plates to the season that was, the hope for a Lions Super Bowl that we'll just keep alive for next season. And at the end of the day, we hope your Super Bowl snacks are the real MVPs. Cheers.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.